And now we continue with the Trans-Canada Real Adventures of our intrepid RV travelers, Bonnie and Bill Neely. The last time I spoke with Bill about their journey through Quebec, today I'm going to chat with Bonnie about their adventures in Northern Ontario as they traveled through what is known as the Canadian Shield. The Canadian Shield is the Earth's greatest area of exposed Precambrian rock. And Northern Ontario is also the part of Canada's most populous province, up close and personal with the boreal forest. Once again, Bonnie, you seem to have taken the road less traveled, and along the way you've had some pretty unique experiences.
We surely have.
Tell us about where you went in Northern Ontario and what you did.
Well, we were traveling across Canada in our RV this summer, and just being adventuresome, we had traveled before on the southern road. And we decided to go farther north, where most travelers don't go, and just see what happened. And we were traveling into Ontario and saw this huge polar bear statue and decided we had to stop. And it was in Cochrane, Ontario, a small town. Not so small for that area, but small by our way of thinking of Canadian major cities. And we went into the trade board where the polar bear was, which turned out to be like their tourism office, and met a lovely woman, Diane Bradley, who just took over and said, well, you must see this, this, and this. I'll make the arrangements. And it was just incredible. The polar bear, everyone thinks when they pass it, the polar bears must be live here. But no, you're not far enough north. However, they had had so many questions through the years about where the polar bears, they decided to put in a polar bear rehab center. And it's like a retirement home for polar bears who have been in zoos or been mistreated or have been orphaned in the wild.
But it's not a zoo itself, is that
right? Right. It's not a zoo. It's a rehab center and rehabilitation. And they rescue polar bears. For instance, they had some polar bears, some twins that were there that they had rescued. The mother had been killed in the wild, and they would have died. And so they brought them as cubs there, and they are thriving. And then they had an elderly polar bear who had been mistreated in a zoo somewhere. And when they discovered it, they brought him there, and they live happily together. And they're just wonderful to watch. You can get a real education, and you can even get up close and personal by swimming with them. Now, this sounds pretty amazing, but they have a bulletproof glass between you and the bears, but you get in the same pool and can splash and pretend to be touching them through the glass, and they love it, and the people do, too.
Oh, my goodness. And did you do this, Bonnie?
No, thank goodness. It wasn't quite open yet when we were there. It wasn't quite warm enough. And I would not have wanted to try to do that venture. I don't think I'm that brave.
They're, in one respect, they're very cute animals, but the polar bear is a powerful animal that is to be reckoned with.
We were warned that even though we all love teddy bears in our beds, these are not teddy bears. They are, in fact, the most aggressive of all mammals and will actually pursue man. They are carnivores. They're omnivores. They will eat, they thrive mostly on fruits and vegetables, but they like meat, and if a person hunts them and they get a chance, they will hunt the person. So,
well, if I can just interrupt a little bit and tell our listeners a little bit about Cochrane, Ontario. And it was great that that you came in from Quebec in Northern Ontario to Cochrane. And what is also interesting about Cochrane is that it's known as the town where the road ends.
And oh, yes. Street in Toronto.
Yeah.
Straight up Highway 11 and ends there.
That's right. And it's the longest, we like to refer to it as the longest main street in the world, all the way from Toronto to Cochrane.
Cochrane. And it's fascinating to us that the road ends there. You just can't drive any farther north.
No.
Period.
And people tend to forget that. And Cochrane is, in some respects, not that far from the subarctic region, which you're going to talk to us about, where polar bears actually do thrive. Cochrane is also important because it was an important railway town in the building of the Transcontinental Railway, which is, for Canadians, this is the national dream. Our first Prime Minister, Sir John A. Macdonald, it was his national dream to unite Canada from east to west by building a transcontinental railway through some of the most difficult terrain, part of it being the Canadian Shield where you were, and now you understand why it was so difficult to build through that area.
It was fascinating. We rode the Ontario Northland train was the system, and the train that we rode was Little Bear because their tourist train, the Polar Bear Express, operates only in July and August, and we were a little bit too early for that. But we were really glad that we got to ride the Little Bear because as a journalist, it was of even more interest to us because it is the flag stop train, one of only two in Canada and one of only a few left in the world, where anyone along the track can flag the train down and it will stop for them, pick them up anywhere, and you can just whistle and it stops for you to let you off anywhere. And the route was, I believe, 160 miles. And all through forest and over swamps. And this was what was so fascinating to us. The engineer and the conductor were telling us how the railroad was built. Over water, really, in swamplands. And they had to put down canvas and then a bed of logs, which were very handy in the forest nearby. And then gravel. And it was kind of like a ballast. And then they put a special flexible kind of railroad track down, so it would not break when it was freezing or when it was water underneath it.
So you were you're traveling at a real grassroots level.
Yes.
Meeting local people as they got on and off the train?
Yes. This was their, quote, bus from the Northland to the city. And they come in for groceries, they come in for medical, their mail comes on this train. Anything they need is shipped north on it, from live animals to machinery for building the mines, which they're rebuilding and expanding up there in this area. And it was just amazing to us what you see on the train. There used to be a gold mine in the area, and they carried open bags of gold back and forth on an open, unguarded one of the train cars, and none of it was ever stolen. They would just leave it beside the track for the people to pick up for the train and carry it to the city, and it was pretty
amazing.
Well,
this kind of tells people how remote the area still is and how vast the area is. It's really about 460 miles by 530 miles, with only a population of about 200,000 people. But as you just pointed out, it's also obviously it's a heavily forested area, and where one of the major industries are forestry products, but it's also because it's the Canadian Shield and all this granite and it's often called the Precambrian Shield as well, some of the oldest rock on the planet, and therefore full of minerals.
Yes, they've just discovered diamonds in the far north and are building a diamond mine, and some of the equipment for that building process was on the train with us. Tractors or something, and carrying those on a train up there. And then they had to go by boat from there up to wherever the mine is. There were many, many rivers and swamps that we passed over, too.
Okay, so you pointed out that in the summer, though, there is a regular tourist train called the Polar Bear Express.
And it goes quite rapidly, a couple of hours to get there.
Right. So you had a good, long, leisurely look at the boreal forest and the Canadian Shield. Now, where did you actually tell us where you actually ended up?
We ended up at Moosonee, which is the end of the railroad, and it is at James Bay, and which connects with the Hudson Bay, where the Hudson Bay Company in the early 1600s had a huge fur trading factory. They called it Moose Factory, which is across the Moose River from the little town of Moosonee. Moosonee is where the train ends, and that had been a World War II base, military base. So we went to both Moose Factory and Moosonee, and it was just delightful. They're not a huge posh tourist area by any means. It's mainly for local people and who are mainly First Nations people, Cree Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And they have built a marvelous Echo Lodge, which is the nicest hotel there, at Moose Factory across the river, and you take a water taxi to get over there. You just flag down any boat going by. They're all willing to take you, provided the conditions are safe. They'll not stop if the conditions are not safe, too much wind or too high waves or something, because it's an enormous river.
Well, I'll tell you, your photographs of the Cree Village Echo Lodge look really interesting.
It is a fascinating place.
I would love to stay there. And
we were quite fortunate because they have only 20 rooms. And if you intend to go and spend the night, you should make your reservation there very early, because it's by far the nicest place to stay in the area. The Polar Bear Express is, you can go and spend the night and come back the next day, but most people go up early in the morning and come back late at night. They don't usually stay overnight.
Now, in your article, you've given a hyperlink to the Cree Village Echo Lodge, which is owned and operated by Native people in the area, I believe. Is that correct?
Right. The Macrobec Indians, who were the Crees that came from Quebec, and really they were kind of people without a country, as I understand it, because because they were a mixed nation, they kind of got forgotten when they were dividing up the Canadian property for the native peoples. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. That was the reserve system.
So this town of Moose Factory, which had been set up to have the trading post for the furs and for the shipping to England, then became their center, and they still have a number of people that live there, several hundred, and they have a big hospital that has been there for a long time that is served by volunteers, and quite a good hospital. And in the summer, when the Polar Bear Express is operating, they give tours of this Macrobec village, and you can see the native crafts being made in still the authentic ways. We got to go to the old church that was founded over 100 years ago, and by a priest who actually, it was an Anglican church, and he actually translated the Bible into Cree language, which they revere him for. And it was one of the thaws of the north, when they had a huge snow, melted, and the water came up so high that it floated the church off of its foundation.
Wow.
And it had to be bolted down.
So you're staying at the Cree Village Echo Lodge in Moose Factory on James Bay, which is really a bay that's an extension of the enormous Hudson's Bay. What did you eat, Bonnie, when you were there?
Oh, the food was fabulous. At the Cree Lodge, they have a wonderful dining room, and you feel like you're inside a wooden teepee because it's in the shape of a teepee, built completely to respect the environment and to operate in as a benefit and augment nature instead of fighting it and destroying it. They have very intentionally designed this building. The food for the local people love to come there and have what we call normal food.
Right.
Tourists love to come and have the local cuisine. So they offer both. It's a very wide menu, but we got to have ragu made from moose, and it was very, very good.
Ah, so you got to eat moose.
Yes.
How about, did you try any of the fish in the area?
We didn't have the opportunity because we were only there overnight, but the fishing is wonderful, and there's so many sports. Whatever sport you particularly want to do, you can do winter or summer. They will arrange guides for hunting, fishing, boating, of all kinds, trekking, snowshoeing, tracking animals, just whatever you want. But the fishing, of course, is wonderful.
Now, we've talked about the geography, the nature, and the geology. Now, if I can just go back to Canadian Shield a little bit, because, you know, we really talk about that a lot up here. But people don't know how immense the Canadian Shield. It's also called the Precambrian Shield or the Laurentian Plateau.
I understand that in the beginning of the earth, when the crust was folding, that one of the folds in this shield created the depression that made the Hudson Bay and the James Bay. So it's a huge depression.
Exactly. And again, it's for anyone who's interested in geology, it's one of the most glaciated and eroded areas. But the shield itself is it's the oldest part of the North American crustal plate. And it takes in half of Canada, all of Quebec, and even Greenland. But it also goes briefly down into the United States.
And the Adirondacks.
And the Adirondacks. It's called the Canadian Shield because it, if you look at it from space, it is sort of in the form of a shield. Now, Bonnie, why would you recommend people go to Northern Ontario?
Well, for us, it was to see the people and experience the far north and the remote way of living. For many, it could be for the many sports that is offered, the hunting and the fishing in the winter and summer, it's year-round. And it was also just a wonderful train ride. So some people are just train aficionados.
Right, and there are some amazing once-in-a-lifetime train trips in the world, and this is one of them, either the Little Bear or the Polar Bear Express.
You can also, when you're there, you can get float planes or other kinds of planes to carry you farther north for the fishing, which is so popular and so such an experience.
One of the other, people may not know this, but one of the other major industries in Northern Ontario is the fly-in vacation. Primarily Americans, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taken into one of these thousands of lakes in Northern Ontario for hunting or fishing, but they fly in by the float planes. And this is a whole sub-industry in the travel and tourism industry in Northern Ontario, and there are many tour operators, actually, that arrange these.
There was another aspect that on this Little Bear train, we had a group of people who had brought their own canoes, and they were going to take a six-day canoe trip on the rivers up there, and so when they pulled the chain for the train to stop, the train conductors and all unloaded their canoes, and they got in the water right there and paddled off.
So
then the train will pick them up and their canoes 6 days later.
So eco-travel and adventure travel, how about soft adventure travel?
Yes, any age could enjoy this this train trip, and the way they are set up to accommodate anybody's needs on an individual basis. Two-bay boat tours can take you out into the James Bay or into the Hudson Bay for a day or a half day, weather permitting, and wind conditions permitting. And anyone can enjoy the Echo Lodge and just taking hikes in and out of there, just short hikes. Or they can take you on extended hiking, to hunting, trekking trips, too.
Now, I know that when you were in the James Bay area, you were not there in the season where the polar bears were actually coming to the area. But
right. They occasionally do sight them.
Right. Now, but when you were there or in Cochrane, did anyone talk to you about the polar bear as the newest symbol of our concerns over global warming? Because as the Arctic ice, Arctic waters start to warm up and the ice flows on which the polar bears depend are fewer and fewer.
Yes, we have seen recently on television the polar bear that was stranded and couldn't swim far enough to get back when his iceberg broke.
Right.
And it is an important symbol. And they, at the polar bear trading post, we also saw lots of adorable stuffed animal polar bears, which, helps children become aware of the global warming. It's a wonderful symbol to use.
Okay. One last question, Bonnie, before we have to get going. Northern Ontario is a heritage and frontier travel experience. Mm-hmm. What can you say about that?
In Cochrane, there's a wonderful heritage center that in the summer is set up with people in costume demonstrating the way of life in the early 1900s in Canada, in the frontier, and in the far north. And it has all kinds of machinery and buildings. It's very well done.
So the north as frontier land. Often we think of only the west, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. The north is
the frontier. North is still a frontier land from my perspective.
Well, at least you got there.
Yes, you have.
Okay,
to be...
Bonnie, this has been wonderful. Now, I'm going to be talking next time to, who am I going to be talking to? Am I going to be talking
Bill.
To Bill?
Mm-hmm.
I'm
Saskatchewan.
And what am I going to be talking to Bill about?
Saskatchewan.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite provinces.
Yes.
Well, listen, it was a great, I loved reading the article.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you got up there.
Well, we loved the experience. And I have to mention that if you go to Ontario, you must go to Sleeping Giant Provincial Park Thunder Bay and see Kakabaka Falls. It's just amazing. It's on Lake Superior.
Well, thank you very much for this, Bonnie, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bye.